This is a certified Big Soy Naturals classic.
I have a problem.
I look like Jared Padalecki. I got them Supernaturals.
So my value right now is zero.
If you think about it, AI is actually the fastest path to communism. When I smoke the blue and I smoke the
purple. Smoking on the blunt because I want to run. It's all so adorable, but you can't have it. Smoking scream.
When I hit the blunt, it's a paper cut. Enforced farming is really not a vibe. Hello, hello, pay pigs. How are you?
I don't care.
I mean, I don't really care either, but I feel like it's obligatory to ask since they can. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't put it past some of them to just answer to the air, like while they're listening, just being like, "Good, I'm like eating some. I'm eating dinner."
Yeah, or, like, but I don't want to encourage that. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Power hour. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. We just finished recording the first part. It is 4:20. It is every stoner's favorite day. It is also Hitler's birthday.
It's my auntie Patricia's birthday. So shout out to her.
This is the Parasocial Power Hour. I know we just said we don't care what you think, but we do care about you living vicariously through our lives and what we've been doing for the past 6 weeks and what Cerise has been doing for the past 6 weeks.
True.
Has been traveling. They've been on an eat, pray, love journey. But instead, what would be the replacements for eat, pray, love for you? It would be
okay.
Like,
so I think instead of eat, we'll have to say smoke, mm-hmm. Or perhaps toke. Instead of pray, maybe chillax. Or actually, that's probably instead of love. What would we say I do instead of pray? Rave? Maybe like
rave.
Smoke. Flutter. Rave. Chillax. actually, okay, on the subject of 420, like, have I ever told you the story about how I accidentally went to a cult meeting?
No.
Really? Oh, this is such a classic Cerise story. This is part of why I don't smoke weed. So I went to Evergreen, which is a little school in Olympia, Washington, where they don't have grades and they don't have majors and they don't have classes. And I picked it because it had like a 1-star review on Google reviews. And I I wanted to go somewhere that would be funny. So I was there and I transferred in, or I don't know if it's transferring if you're still like a brand new student. I just started college a little bit late. So I started in the winter instead of the fall. And there was a person that was in my orientation group who, I'm just going to say his name, like who cares? His name was Duncan. There's probably a million people named Duncan. And I thought that he looked just exactly like what I thought a person from the Pacific Northwest like would look like he had like dark mm-hmm. hair and he had a beard and he wore like the same flannel every day that he wore a hoodie over and like he wore hiking boots all the time. And he just like smelled a little bit like patchouli and weed. And I was just like, I feel like I need to befriend this man because he's like a cartoon character to me. Right. I now realize that that kind of person is pretty common, but I was brand new from the land of New Jersey and I was like, I need to know Duncan specifically. Duncan was like less interested in being my friend. Duncan would say things to me like, aren't you cold right now in that outfit? And how can you walk in those shoes?
Two of your least favorite things to be asked.
Yeah, or would say things like, oh, I don't really eat gluten.
Get over yourself. Are you celiac? But then who cares?
No, Duncan drank beer. But wouldn't eat bread with me. Sorry, Duncan, but
so he literally wouldn't break bread with you.
Yeah,
Jesus child.
Exactly.
Wow.
But
wow.
I like have never let obstacles get in the way of what I want, and I wanted to be friends with this person. So I just kind of inserted myself into Duncan's life until Duncan accepted that we were like acquaintances. And so spring quarter comes around. It's nice outside. Duncan has since joined an organic dance troupe.
What is organic about dance?
I don't know. And I used to be like a legit ballerina. Like, I was pretty serious about it. It doesn't matter. But like, I used to be a ballerina, so I am pretty into dance and I like seeing other people's performances. And I was very interested in what an organic dance troupe would be. And so he invited me at the end of spring quarter to come see his troupe perform. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I'd love to do that. And he was like, okay, great. Meet me in the parking lot by the woods at like 6 p.m. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I took took my friend James with me. And James and I went to the parking lot. And soon Duncan and the rest of his friends, who I assume were his fellow dancers, arrive. And they all sort of have this like dreamy look in their eyes. They're not really dressed to dance, in my opinion. They're dressed to go on a hike. And then finally this one guy arrives, and man, I actually can't remember his name. I think it was like Ian or something. But he's the most important character in this story. And he comes up to me and he's like, I am so excited to see you. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so happy that you're going to join our performance. And I'm like, yeah, I love dance. Like, I'm excited for this. And then he like turns to the whole group and he's like, okay, everyone, it's time for us to walk into the woods. And then they like find a little clearing and he has everyone sit down. And I'm like, like when's the dancing gonna happen? But he has us, his name is like Aiden or something. I don't know. He has us sit in a circle. And I remember these parts of it vividly, where he has me sit next to someone that I don't know and then another person that I don't know. And he's like, I'm going to guide you through a meditative exercise. And I want you to look into the eyes of the person next to you as I guide you through this meditation. And so he's like, imagine the person across from you 5 years from now.
Without the preamble, I would say that like this does just sound like a hippie warm-up to dancing. Like this could just be like a theater.
Right.
Thing.
And I was like, okay.
Things are kind of culty already, like
yeah, no, totally. I was like, this is not super what I wanted to participate in, but like, this must be the warm up. So he's like, imagine the person across from you 5 years from now. Like, imagine them accomplishing their dreams. And then he has us like imagining them 10 years from now. And he like paints a picture of where they're going to be there. And he keeps going through like different milestones until he's like, imagine them dead. Like imagine their imagine their consciousness like floating through the stars, like in the galaxy, becoming one with yours and becoming one with everyone's consciousness. And the person across from me that I'm doing this exercise with, that is imagining me dead, is getting really into it. Like they are like crying, they are tearing up, like imagining me dead. I am trying not to laugh. And then we have to do it again with the other person on the other side of us. And I'm like, when's the dancing going to happen? But then he has us get up and like stand in a circle around him. And he's like, now I'm going to name feelings. And if you've ever felt this feeling, I need you to stand closer in the circle until we all become one because we are all one. and literally he just starts going like, sadness, anger. Until, you know, like everyone is like pushed up next to each other in the circle. And I'm like, bro, when is the dancing gonna happen? But
when we dance,
but
please.
then he arranges us into two columns and he's like, now we're going to do what I call an angel walk, where we're going to chant, and one person is going to walk through the column, and I encourage everyone to reach out and touch them and give them like embraces and encouraging words, inspiring words, until they reach me at the end of the column, and then it will be the next person's turn to go through the angel walk. And I've gotten like over this a little bit, but I really, really, really do not like strangers touching me. Like, especially at that time, I was very like I didn't even really like to be super affectionate with my friends. Mm-hmm. So the idea of like all of these like granola ass like strangers who refuse to use the kind of deodorant that gives you cancer, like touching me and like touching my hair and whispering things in my ear, like mm-hmm. did not make me feel good. Like I did not want to do that. So I got myself all the way in the back of the angel walk column because I was like, I really don't want to go through this. But I still remember the chant that he taught us because I had to do it so many times. Right. So it goes, we behold you, beautiful one. We behold you, child of the earth and sun. And so we were all doing that over and over as people walked through the line. And like as someone would get through, like then Edan, Aiden, Ian, really wish I could remember, would give them a hug at the end and whisper something in their ear. And then they would just look like ecstatic and like euphoric after, like he had like said something like really important to them, like had like unlocked something for them. And so I'm going through the chant, you know, I'm like, we behold you, beautiful one, as like everyone's going through. Mm-hmm. And I see each person like get this really joyful look on their face. And finally, it's my friend James's turn to go through. And I'm like, well, this is the other like normal person that I know. And I do the little chant, and he gets up to the end, and Aiden whispers, Ivan, his name is Ivan, there we go, whispers in his ear. And even James at the end, like, looks, like, just totally, like, euphoric. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm interested. Like, I don't really want to do this, but I want to know what he's going to say to me. And so I put myself through the columns, and everyone's chanting and touching my hair and giving me hugs. And I finally get up to Ivan, and Ivan pulls me close and he whispers in my ear, you are so beautiful. And I was like, what? Like, this is it? Like,
that's it?
Yeah, like it's you know, as egotistical as I am, it's very nice to receive a compliment. If you told me that I was beautiful, I would appreciate that and it would mean something to me. But I don't normally have to put myself through like emotional anguish in order to be told that I'm beautiful. I could like call my friends or my mom if I need to hear that, or like look in the mirror. And so I was like very disappointed because I was like, I thought that he was going to say something like special to me. Yeah. And I felt almost cheated.
Like looked through your soul, you know, like,
right. Really, and it was like, he looked through my soul and told me that I was pretty. but I was the last one on the angel walk and I was like, okay, like I came here to watch a dance performance. Like, when is that going to happen? And fortunately, Ivan was like, and now it's time to dance. And I was like, great. Thank like, God. This is what I came here for. Really amped to see what kind of dance these people are about to do. But then Ivan says, okay, everyone, I want you to walk around the woods find an object that speaks to you. That's going to be your dance partner. And then you're going to come back here.
No.
And we're going to take shrooms.
No.
And then we're going to dance. And I was like, I will not. I will not be doing psychedelics with you people. I'm so scared of you.
To be in a vulnerable position with a bunch of people who just made you do, like, to be fair, up until this point, like, once again, like, I, you know, my spiciest take of all of that is behind a paywall is that theater and cults are, like, are so intertwined. It's like the overlap is, like, basically a circle. Like,
and you shouldn't do either. You shouldn't do either of them. So I and my friend that I came with go out into the woods to look for our object, but we just start walking home instead of coming back and doing the mushrooms.
A great escape, honestly.
A few hours later, lo and behold, who calls me? It's Duncan. And he's I'm really scared. Like, I'm having a bad time. Like, I'm freaking out. I need someone to come get me. It's dark in the woods. I don't know how to get home. And so we go find him, but it is dark and we have a flashlight. But, like, we don't know exactly where he is anymore. So we call him and we're like, hey, can you just, like, shout a bit so that we can come find you? And I guess he's, like, really high, so he, instead of just saying, like, hey, I'm here, is just making all sorts of, like, silly noises. But we do eventually find him, and we, like, take him home. The best part of this is a few weeks later, I run into Ivan on campus, and he is like, I really missed you the other day. It was so beautiful to have you there, to be a part of our group. I hope that maybe you'll come again next time. Like, no. I just think that you were a really great fit, and I would love to use your energy.
Okay, mm-hmm. There we go.
And use my energy. But this next part is the part I will never forget. And he says, it was a shame that you left, because after we started communing with nature, the spirits started communing back with us. And I believe that we heard a Native American spirit speaking to us that night. And I was like, what? Like, first of all, like, why would you think that it's Native American? Like, of all, like, why are you assuming the race of the ghost that's speaking to you? But I was just like, like, what makes you think that? And he goes, well, a few hours into our dance, we started hearing this mysterious chanting, shouting at us. And I just knew that it was the spirit of the woods trying to speak to us. And I was like, oh. That was Duncan, but, like, I'll let you have that, I guess. And they continued to do all sorts of things on campus, and, like, every time that someone joined their little group, like, they would just start walking around with this very, like, glassy-eyed look, and, like, I found out that all of them were, like, contributing money to, like, pay for a house I think just, like, the higher up people in the organic dance troupe lived in. And they, of course, like, were all sleeping with each other. And then they, like, did, like, a hostile takeover of the Christian group on campus and made it be, like, part of their their dance troupe. I can give you a video of, like, that group to link in the bio if people want to see a little bit of the energy that was happening.
I would love that. Oh my God.
But that was. And would you be shocked to learn that Ivan, upon graduation, received a full ride to NYU's, like, art grad school for performance?
I mean, I want to say no, I wouldn't be, but I am a little bit. Only in the sense that, like, when you're doing shrooms through your entire college career, when do you have, like, time?
But that's what the point of having other people, the
Yeah.
We behold you, beautiful, one. We behold you, child of the earth and sun.
Incredible.
Also, oh, like, I wish that I had found out from my friend what Ivan said to him, because that day I was like, what did he say? And he was like, it's private. So, like, I feel like he said something, like, really special to everyone else, and he looked inside my soul and was like, 10 out of 10 smoke show.
Maybe maybe it's just that you were unreadable, you were impenetrable. Like, you do have powers, and you do have a, probably have, like, some kind of psychic force field.
Yeah, you know? I think that's probably what was happening, but I was a little bit disappointed that I didn't get anything. Yeah. Like, you didn't even say, what about me is beautiful? Like, you could have said, you're beautiful because, like... You know, I just felt really phoned in.
Is beautiful, or yeah, like you could even say, like, you don't think that you have a beautiful soul, but you do. Like there are so many, like, generic things that sound ungeneric that he could have gone with.
Yeah, I felt cheated. I still feel cheated. Maybe if it worked, I would have joined the cult. I feel like probably not. Though, there was some
a lot of stuff to do.
Like, yeah, I just don't like loose clothes that much. like clothes that are loose all over.
The octogenarian movement teacher look isn't really for you.
No.
Yeah.
And yeah, I also don't like to smell bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also don't like to smell bad. So.
Yeah, so I feel like cult life is not for me, and I miss that. That's why I went back to the Pacific Northwest for my extended vacation. Mm-hmm. Listeners, life hack: buy a plane ticket when you are planning on going somewhere. Don't buy a return ticket. Don't make plans for what you're doing with the rest of your time. I've done this so many times, and it kind of always works out for me. You just, like, then find stuff to do. So I went to LA for Kendall's wedding, which was fantastic. Great job. I loved the lasagna. Did you make it be lasagna because of Garfield?
No, I literally went to a tasting event for the venue, and that was literally one of the best things I had ever eaten. So,
I went to taste things. How many things did you get to taste? What's that like?
I got to taste everything on the tasting menu, including stuff I didn't put on there.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got some salmon.
And were you, like, full? Were you really full?
They gave us, like, the little, like, fancy plates. Of like little bits. So I was full by the end, but I didn't feel like I had, like, I was, like, super full. But yeah, they even gave us cake, because they also make cake in-house at the venue. So they gave us all of the different cakes that they were making, and all of the, like, desserts at the dessert bar, as well as, like, there's like a ton of other, like, stuff you can do besides, like, the cocktail hour, like, stuff. You can have, like, a Mediterranean, like, crudité bar, or like a macaroni and cheese bar or something.
Did you have a drink that was named after you at the wedding?
I didn't. I ended up not doing that. Like a signature cocktail that wasn't really, I think I just like overlooked it, honestly. At the other wedding I went to, there was a signature cocktail, and I decided, you know what, I think I'll have one. And it was such a strong drink that I swear to God, I didn't think I was hungover the day after, because I only had one. And I was like, there's no way that I can be hungover this, like, bad from one drink. Like, I threw up twice. I was wearing, like, sunglasses the whole day. And, like, I kept being in denial about, like, I'm not hungover. There's no fucking way. Because, like, I haven't, just because, like, I haven't had a drink in God knows how long, and I only had one. Like, and it literally just, like, tasted like pure alcohol. That doesn't mean I'm hungover. And so for 4 hours of the 8 hour ride home from that wedding, I was like, I don't think I'm hungover. And then I got to a Starbucks and I literally almost passed out from the fluorescent lighting in the bathroom. And I sat at a table with my friend Kit, and Kit was like, are you like, okay, you look like you are past death. And I was like, I think I'm actually hungover. And I literally cried because I was like,
you're weak. So
torn apart.
You're weak.
Yeah. I felt like there's no way I can be this lame and uncool, but I was in that moment. And that's a moment of humility that only the pay pigs get. Yeah, I didn't have a signature drink at the wedding, no.
I've always said that waking up drunk is just getting your money's worth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true. That wedding I went to was a very, very expensive wedding. So for me to be drunk the day after, I think that's deserved, honestly. That's something I needed.
I was not even, I think, hungover the day after your wedding, but I don't really get hungover because I've got just such a strong constitution. I do get drunk very fast, mm-hmm. but I'm typically not a person of hangover experience. And I had to wake up very early to watch, do you know like what F1 is?
Like Formula One racing?
Yeah, like in Neo-Yokio, but like in real life.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
So you went and watched F1.
Well, like just on TV.
Oh, okay. I thought you like
I don't know, because they happen in like exotic locations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it happened so early in the morning. It was just like in Neo-Yokio, but with real people instead of characters. And I was like very sober for that, even though I had to wake up so early. I'm thinking about getting into sports overall. Yeah?
You think about
it? Yeah, probably not that one. No offense to those people. But I'm going to choose the sports that I get into based on like what other television shows I already watch. So I'm trying to get into football because I'm really into Friday Night Lights. And like, I guess I could get into F1 because it's in Neo-Yokio. But in Neo-Yokio, Kaz Khan doesn't really like it. He compares the drivers to refrigerator technicians. So I'll have to work on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you are Kaz Khan kin, so that does present a challenge for you. But yeah, I mean, like you had a great time. You were in LA at least, I think, a little longer than I was. You had a pretty good time. And then
LA is great.
Yeah. I moved out of LA for reasons. I will say it's a great place to have fun in.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. Although like the first time that I was in LA, like I was there for a few months because I had a project to work on, and I was super poor and I had to like couch surf the whole time, and so I was like, oh, I hate LA. But most recently, the last two times I've been in LA, I've stayed in like very nice hotels and like gotten to eat really good food every day and have hung out with friends, and I'm like, oh, I love LA. And I haven't put together maybe why I didn't like it the first time and why I like it so much now. I'm like, oh yeah, when you go to LA, like you can just order room service. Like that's what LA is all about. It's about having a concierge service. Bring you infused water.
Cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about like sitting on the 405 for 3 hours a day just to go 5 miles. That is not what it's about. It's definitely not about cursing the sky with your mayor's name as ash of people from who died from COVID falls on top of your Eggs Benedict at Squirrel, the place you just waited for brunch at for 9 hours. And then you get a Twitter notification that says Squirrel is currently getting canceled on Twitter for having mold in all of their jams and scamming people into.
Yeah, that's not what LA is about at all. LA is about checking into your hotel no later than 3 p.m. and checking out sometime around noon. It's about free wine tasting in the hotel lobby. That's what LA is all about. From the hours of 5 to 7 p.m.
it's about going and getting a taco.
Yeah, it's about saying, oh, just charge it to my room. That's that's what you do when you're in LA.
When you're in LA, you go up to the Hollywood sign, and the spirit of fucking, I don't know, Bob Baker of airport fame smiles upon you and says, you did it. You've beaten LA. You got to the final level. And as a prize, he gives you the key to the city. Completely rids the entire city of smog. It's a wonderful place to be. And then you left that wonderful place, Los Angeles, the windy city.
The city of dreams.
City of dreams, the city that never sleeps. Hotlanta.
And then I went to Seattle, the Big Apple, as some know it. Washington is like known for its apples. And its cherries. That's why Dale Cooper gets a slice of cherry pie when he goes to Twin Peaks. I went to Seattle, which is a place where I used to live. And when I lived there, I hated it. I have fond memories of Olympia, where I went to college in Washington. And I think I would definitely visit and enjoy it there. I have no fond memories of Seattle. Which is where I moved in 2018. And in fairness to Seattle, it was similar to the LA situation where I was so fucking broke, for most of my time there. And I finally had a stable job towards the end of 2019 and was kind of able to pay rent and buy groceries and do stuff. And so I was okay, I'm gonna give Seattle a shot. Maybe the reason that I hate it so much is just because I'm broke. So 2019, where I'm slightly less broke, it was 2019, but going into 2020, it was November 2019 when things started coming together for me. I was this year, I'm going to put an effort into liking it here. But other circumstances in the world got in the way of that. And then my final year in Washington was just me being stuck inside my house and having a miserable time. So I got out really as soon as I could. I am never going to go back there, except I probably do need to go back there one more time. Yeah. But I will not go back there to visit unless I have a really good reason to. If there's a party that's being thrown outside of Jeff Bezos's house and we're going to do redacteds to him, then I'll show up for that. Yeah. But I will fully admit that my relationship to that city is very colored by the bad times that I had, because I was walking around my last day there and it was a beautiful day out. And I was just scowling, and I was ugh, I hate it. This place makes me sad. hate being here. And the sun was shining.
A bird landed on your shoulder, and you were this place makes me sick.
Yeah. I was ugh, Seattle's terrible. And I don't know how I did it when I lived there, but I had a friend group of mostly people who were LGBT in the Steven Universe way. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I have a sense of humor and I'm fun. Yeah. And those kinds of people are really not. It's been a very long time since I've like hung out with gay people who are like not fun to be around.
I haven't done that since college, so it,
yeah, I had forgotten.
Go back.
So Well, to provide some context, Kendall, would you rather a straight son or a femcel daughter?
It's tough, you know, and it's a tough decision to make. And we talked about this before. We talked about this before the events that happened. And I gave my fully honest answer, which I think is a straight son. No. My answer before was femcel daughter. And then I was convinced for a straight son because of the dried cereal bowls that would be in her room. And like the lane pilling.
Hey, eating dry cereal is valid.
Oh no, I'm talking about like dried crusted cereal on the bowl, not like eating dry cereal.
Okay.
Which I understand. But at the same time, like having a straight son just feels like a failure to me. Like I failed as a person. Whereas like femcel, it's just like, oh, she's just lost her way. You know, like I don't really think that. Like, I think in the end, she's just a lesbian and she just doesn't know it.
No. Think about the broads on the internet who are posting pictures of Lily Rose Depp. Like, have they simply just lost their way? Are they lesbians? Don't do that to the lesbian community.
See, that's what convinced me is just, like, I feel like if it's my daughter, it's my kid, I care about them. Like, I just think maybe they lost their way, but maybe I'm just in denial, you know? Maybe a straight son is the better way to go. Because, like, I think I can put up with going to, like, the big game, you know? Or, like, dealing with him going on TikTok and saying things like, oh, nobody would ever make a video of me under this sound, like, ladies. Like, I'm totally fine with him doing the lip bite.
So not only are you going to have a straight son, like he's going to be straight, like in the worst way imaginable. Like,
well, I think that if you're giving
he's
me a
Noah Beck. Yeah. And okay, you would prefer Noah Beck.
I mean, I just think Noah Beck can be like, I can kick his ass more. Whereas like a femcel daughter is like, has very strong will. Whereas like Noah Beck, I don't think has any will. I think he just doesn't have anyone in his life to kick his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. So my answer to this question, which is what got me in trouble, is that I would take a straight son, but by the time I was done with him, he would not be a straight son anymore.
Exactly.
And that is because, listeners, gender and sexuality are a choice, and there are wrong choices. And there are right choices. And being straight is a wrong choice.
Wrong choice.
I mean, like, I'm like half joking, half serious. And this is one of the rare times that I will actually explain when I'm joking or not. But, like, literally, like, being straight is a choice because, like, gender is fake. And so you have to, like first agree to the paradigm of, like, binary gender. Agree to like seeing yourself through that and then agree to like enforcing it through the way that you are attracted to people. Like there are a bunch of choices in there, which is why straight people are always freaking out about things all the time because they're like, oh, does this make me gay? Does this make me gay? Exactly. And it's exactly. Like, yeah, because like anything that you do that like disrupts like the, I don't know, the design of like what it means to be straight like is outside of that. And it's such a like fragile state of being that there are going to be like many things that get in the way of that or like subvert straightness.
As our good friend and guest of the pod, Riley, says to me all the time, I believe that there are straight women. I do not believe that there are straight men.
Well, this is a different thing. This is about misogyny.
Yeah.
That's about how men are not actually, they don't actually like women. But I'm just saying, like, the idea of, like, oh, I'm straight, like, that is a choice. You're making a series of choices in order to say that. And, mm-hmm. like, I'm not gonna give this whole speech when I say that I think that gender and sexuality are a choice and that there are wrong choices. Like, you should just know what I mean when I say things. And you should know when I'm joking and you should know when I'm serious.
You are talking about the socialized choices that we feel that we make without even realizing it.
And if I say something and you take it seriously, but I was joking, I'm going to say, oh, it was a joke. And if I say something and you take it as a joke when I'm serious, I'm going to say, oh, I was serious. And it's like up to you to figure it out. I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, I said this amongst people whom I thought were like, if not friends, like friend adjacent. Mm-hmm. They're part of the greater Seattle extended polycule. All of them have like monosyllabic names. None of them have hair that like comes past their ears. and I said that if I had a straight son, he would not be by the time I was done with him. And so I could fix him. And this person turns around and they're like, I just want you to know that like what you said really upset me. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't, you know, set out to hurt people's feelings. So like, why? What did I do? And they were like, well, I used to think of myself as straight.
Embarrassing. And humiliating. Terrible.
And when I was straight, like, I thought that there was no way for me to be a good person and be straight. And it made me feel so bad about myself. And like, it almost made me become a Nazi because the only places that I could read positive things about straight men were like on alt-right forums. And they were like, and like growing up in liberal Seattle, like there were just no avenues for me to see myself as a good person, as a straight man. And I think that you should think before you make jokes that generalize about all kinds of people being one way or another. And then everyone else in the group starts being like, yeah, like it's fucked up to generalize in this way. And I'm like, wait, are we holding a tribunal against the one black person in this group, first of all? Second of all, for making fun of straight men? And like, this is all we have. If we can't say unkind things about straight people, like, what can we say? I felt like Jesus Christ, you know? I was called out and then I was canceled to the cross.
To me, the most bizarre part is to say, I almost became a Nazi. Like, not only are you admitting you used to think of yourself as straight, which, like I said, humiliating, embarrassing, that you, like, identify still to this day as, like, formerly straight, weird. Why would you want that? Why do you, like, hold on to that? That's just kind of sad. And then, like, to top it off with, I almost became a Nazi. So you were, like, one more like bad day away from being a Nazi.
Yeah,
like
one joke is gonna push you over the edge and you're gonna get a little arm patch on.
One mention of the word breeder and you would have been like, that's it.
Wait,
like,
what's breeder?
Like you're straight, you're heterosexual, you like breed.
They're breeding?
Yeah, you know.
Like, I haven't heard that one before.
I have. I mean, I heard it from specifically. there was a viral video, like almost like, oh my God, like 6 years ago now. And if you are Riley specifically listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. Where it's like in a world, in like an alternate history where like straight is like not the norm. And like this little girl is like getting bullied by a bunch of like, kids with gay parents who are also gay, and they keep pointing at her and calling her a breeder. And then they like they paint on her garage door like breeders go home, and her lesbian moms are like, what is this, like what are you doing? And then like she tries to kill herself by the end, and it's this like short film. It has like they're using like a DSLR camera. It's like clearly funded by somebody. And then by the end of it, when she like blacks out, it like fades to black, and they're like, now wouldn't that be messed up? Like, don't do that to gay people. and it's this weird like reverse history of like
there's so many things like that. What about it? Like there's a lot of like sci-fi stories that are like, what if like white people were the black people, and they experienced like racism? That. Like, wouldn't that be fucked up? or like, what if the patriarchy was a matriarchy? Like, wouldn't that be terrible? And all right, I feel like if white people were oppressed and we lived in like a black supremacist society, I don't really know actually how that would work, because like blackness was invented through chattel slavery. But like, putting that aside, if there was a black supremacist society, I think it would be cool.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Something that I like to do is go out to karaoke and say, "This one's for the crackers," and then do "Say It Ain't So" by Weezer.
I mean, it was for the crackers, wasn't it? Say it ain't so. I mean, it's either that or Sweet Caroline.
So then after Seattle, I went to Portland, where I saw the one and only Kendall Cocaine, and we kept it weird together. We got very expensive cupcakes. We stood in line for a really long time to get like a bacon wrapped donut. We got mustache tattoos on our fingers. We drank craft beer.
Holding up the mustache tattoos to our lips, you know.
But
we kept it
weird. We went to a microbrewery, which is like a brewery that's really small that only like seats a few people.
Yeah, I can barely fit in the door.
We went thrifting. And paid lots of money for clothes that are only like a year old. What else did we do?
They were labeled like Y2K baby tee, and on the inside you could see like a tag from Shein.
You know, I think Portland's cute. I think it's cute. I used to visit my friend that lived there when she lived there, and I was always like struck by the lack of black people, and I will never forget like that she invited me to a party that was called a do-rag party that was thrown by other black people, and the idea was like people are wearing do-rags, like they're playing 90s music, but if white people were going to go, did they need to come in costume? Did they need to wear do-rags? No, but it was all white people wearing do-rags at this party. And that's what Portland is to me. But it was still very nice getting to see you. And I would do it again. I'd keep it weird with you anytime. And then after Portland, I went to Joshua Tree, which was fantastic. I saw the moon. I did drugs.
You kept your Lent promise.
I did.
That was good.
I came back home.
I've been dying to go to Joshua Tree for forever. I want to look at the cool rocks.
Well, we should go. We should go together. Why not?
We should go. I do want to go at some point.
Let's go on vacation.
Yeah, I wouldn't go during the summer because it's probably like so unbearably hot. But like, I know during New Year's, it's usually like pretty nice.
Let's go next. Well, so I know that for like the next like winter holidays time, I'm probably going to be going to Prague, because have you seen The Last Holiday? Sorry.
Cinematic masterpiece, The Last Holiday.
Yeah, yes, it's like one of the greatest movies of all time. I saw it for the first time when I had COVID and I was like completely like feverish. And I was quarantined with like my two best friends, and we were all very sick with terrible fevers, being delusional. We watched The Last Holiday and like cried. It's such a good movie. If you haven't seen it, I don't care that it's not Christmas time. Like, you should go see it.
Watch it right now.
But I am going to spoil it right now. So like, I don't know, skip forward or something if you don't want to know. But it's about Queen Latifah, and she's just a, she's a woman that plays it safe. She's got a job in the mall, and she doesn't take any risks. And she's got a crush on LL Cool J, who also works at the mall, even though he doesn't have ears.
And up until recently, didn't she have, like, she had to take care of her mom, right? Like, so she's been taking care of other people, like, her whole life.
Right.
And has never focused
on herself. She's never lived for herself, and she doesn't take any risks. And then she goes to the doctor, and he runs a scan on her brain, and he's like, so you've got 6 weeks to live. And she's like, fuck it, we ball. And so she takes all of her money that she has, like, in savings, and she goes to Prague because there's a chef that works in a restaurant that she, like, or mm-hmm. yeah, a chef that she really admires that works in a restaurant in Prague. And
she's been dreaming of going for like, her whole life.
And she eats one of everything on the menu. She balls out. LL Cool J is like, what happened to my girl? He flies out to see her. He confesses his love to her. And she's like, we can't do it because, like, I'm going to die. And he's like, I don't care, baby. Like, I've got no ears. Because he really doesn't have any ears. Like, look at a picture of him. His ears are so far back on the side of his head. Like, if he's got them, like, they're like pinned back like a dog's. And then, you know, it turns out that like the doctor fucked up the CAT scan or something. So she's like not actually going to die. But,
actually.
But she learned, the important lesson that you got to live in the moment. You have to take risks. You have to do things or else life is just going to pass you by. And so I decided that next year for like the holiday time, I'm going to go to Prague. And then for my birthday, me and my friends are going to learn how to ski. But somewhere in between then, you and I, we can go to Joshua Tree and we'll also learn something. We'll learn the meaning of love, of friendship, of marriage. You can tell me what it's like being married.
I, as a Caucasian with a trust fund, I do know how to ski. I could teach you how to do the little pizza break.
I'm not surprised that you know how to ski, but I am a little bit upset. I mean, you know, why not me? I had opportunities to learn how to ski, but as I have mentioned, I was a pretty serious ballerina, and I went on a skiing trip with a friend once, and I was like 8, and my ballet teacher found out about it, and she was livid, and she was like, if I find out that you do this ever again, like, you're never going to be allowed in the shows, because, like, if you get injured, it... you know, it ruins everything for everyone.
That's what I was going to say, is that, like, the thing that I know is that, like, because, like, I was, like, nay forced to learn how to ski, because I was, like, I had autism, and I was, like, these boots are pinchy, and they're heavy, and they set off all my sensory issues, and also we're doing a sport, and I'm not into sports. And then
you really didn't like, you didn't like any sports?
I didn't like most of them, though.
Oh, I loved sports. Big fan.
I was just not. Cause so many
I was playing tetherball every day in Joshua Tree. That's a sport.
That is a sport. See, I like tetherball. Tetherball's fun. But it's like a game, you know? Like, there's sports that, because of, like, misogyny and all the isms, have been considered pastimes and not real professional sports, like tetherball.
Okay, but what do they call baseball? That's America's greatest pastime.
It's
That's for men.
But it's exactly, it's for men.
Softball. So wait, no, but you said that things that are fun are called pastimes and not sports. Yeah. But baseball is America's greatest pastime.
And it's boring. So it's a lie.
So what is the truth?
What's the truth is that baseball is not America's greatest pastime. Bowling is.
Bowling?
Yeah.
Bowling is. No.
It's the sport of the East Coast.
Where you and I are going to diverge. Okay. Because bowling is not fun. Bowling is like you mostly sit.
That's why it's a pastime. You're sitting most of the time. Drinking beer and you're eating wings and you're sitting and then you're calling it a sport. There's that iconic video of the guy who won like the bowling championships of like the world.
And who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah. That's iconic. That's an iconic moment.
Okay, but something being iconic doesn't mean that the thing attached to it is a sport. There's so many iconic videos of people Naruto running, but Naruto running is not a sport.
I beg to differ. I can say sport is a social construct, and to me, Naruto running is a sport. What I was
you were never a gymnastics person. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh no.
Go ahead.
Really? I'm terrified. Of
You're 5'2".
Oh. I'm terrified of injuring myself, and that's another
thing.
You
just don't get injured if you're good at it.
That's what I hated about skiing is that skiing is like designed to injure yourself. The amount of people that just like every day. Like, you go skiing, and while you're skiing, you see at least 3 times on that one, like, run down the mountain, you will see somebody getting, like, bobsledded back down in a toboggan because they fell off the rickety, rickety, rickety old gondola.
Where, like, They didn't even fall doing the sport. They fell off. I feel like that's easily fixable problem. Just go to a place with a better...
aren't looking... and they run into the poles of the gondola, or they run into the forest and they can't stop, and so they just run in and like run into a tree and break their leg.
Okay, but Kendall, the moral of the last holiday is to not let fear guide your life.
It's impossible for me with the gondola. I just think at this point we should have come up with a much safer system to get people up a mountain than a metal chair that like swings in the wind, where the only thing keeping you in place is a thin, thin bar that you have to put down yourself. And sometimes it gets stuck. So you're just sitting, if it gets stuck, you are just sitting in a chair with no safety bar in front of you, going up a mountain as it rocks back and forth and up and down, and hoping, praying you don't slip off while you have two weighted ankles with like weights on them, the boot and the ski. It's like weighing you down. You feel your ass sliding off the seat, and you're
I think it would be fun because Queen Latifah looked like she was having a great time, and I can't get injured
there. You know how I know this is like not an uncommon fucking fear is because there was an entire movie.
You can't make me afraid because I have already seen The Last Holiday and I internalized the moral, which is to not be afraid and God won't let you die.
There is a to finish my point, there is a horror movie called Frozen, not the Disney movie of 2014.
That is a horror movie though.
It is, but it's not the same thing. Frozen is from 2010 and it's a fucking survival horror film where these two people get stuck on a gondola and they literally are like the gondola closes, it shuts down, and they get stuck up there because sometimes somebody's having like a difficulty, right? This is a real thing that happens on the fucking gondola. Somebody has like a difficulty down at the bottom, and so they stop the whole gondola, or like somebody fell off, so they stop the whole gondola, and then you're just sitting swaying in the breeze. But for this plot, they, like, I guess the people who were running the gondola just didn't notice two people were still up there. And it just, like, shuts down. And they, like, nearly freeze to death overnight on this gondola. And it's, like, I'm just saying it is not a completely, like, individual, unique fear of mine of this chairlift that takes you up the mountain. It's a very scary experience. And I do not like it.
Well, I think, like... you have to remember that the moral of The Last Holiday is to not let your life be guided by fear, because otherwise LL Cool J, with his lack of ears, is not going to confess his love to you, and you're just going to be stuck in your retail job at the mall with an incredibly big savings that I don't know how you got that from your retail job, but you're not doing anything with it, and that's going to be your life if you are afraid. It is better to ski and fall down than it is to not ski.
You're slowly convincing me, honestly.
I'm not afraid of anything because I watched The Last Holiday. It's a really good movie. It's very good.
It's a really good movie.
I can't tell if I think it's that good because I was like deliriously like feverish, but it was really good.
It is a perfectly structured romantic comedy. It is like... It's got the escapism, but it has like this wonderful caveat where it's like she's given not only like a terrible diagnosis, she is given one that like is completely incorrect and wrong. So like, yeah, you were able to feel happy for her, but at the same time, like, you, like, I feel like with so many of these like Hallmark style rom-coms, the person who is like changing their life, like they're moving to like a new small town, or they're like changing jobs, or they're like doing these crazy cool like different things where they're like completely eat, pray, loving their entire life and like changing it around, like they do it without really having any consequence or like any characterization that they didn't do that before. They just kind of show up in this new town and they're like, all right, I have a new life now. And you like don't know who they were beforehand. And the good thing about that is that you get this feeling of like, she was absolutely justified in her old, like, there's a reason that she was the way that she was. There's a reason she always played it safe. Cause like sometimes they'll just be like, Annie is like a busy, busy businesswoman, and she's just busy all the time, and she just works, works, works. And you're never given a reason like why she does that. Like, you could be like, hey, she grew up like poor, and she feels like if she doesn't stop working, she'll like get back to the situation she was in, or like something to like motivate her at all. But like, there's absolutely nothing most of the time. So to have a character that's like, she took care of everyone else in her life, and she is very selfless, and because of that, she never got to live for herself. You get a sense,
and that she's got a big crush on LL Cool J.
And then once she gets her own autonomy, that's when the guy realizes, like, oh, I'm in love with her. Like, she never has to like get a makeover or become like someone else. She just has to become more of herself.
Which she does kind of do a makeover, but just in the sense that she starts wearing fun outfits instead of like dressing for work. Great movie. I highly recommend traveling for 6 weeks in a row. I do not recommend joining a cult. I recommend with reservations going to Evergreen. And I also recommend attending Kendall's wedding. And I think that is our episode. We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Like, or not. Like, we probably will, though. I think we're going to record tomorrow. So, like, it's going to happen. Bye.
Bye.
Cock is one of my favorite tastes.
I don't want smoke, I just want to smoke.
When I hit the pipe, I'm like Walter White.
Not only that, I feel like the balls smell amazing.
Yeah, I like green because it makes me lean. And I smoke high because I'm blowing clouds. When I hit high, then it's time to smoke.
They are dangerous people.
Like, I cannot get it far enough down my throat to be satisfied.
Like, give a fuck. I don't want smoke.
I'm only satisfied when I feel those intense, powerful, salty, hot pumps of cum down my throat.
I just want to smoke.
This is a certified Big Soy Naturals classic.